now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton, and today on the show we'll be talking to Ira about a new movie made on the Hijra community. Brickside Project will be here giving us their My Five, and it's also a Greatest Showman special today. And of course, the lovely Terry's here too.
Oh, thank you.
So stay with us for the next hour right here on Shout Out.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's really becoming a tradition, isn't it?
Very much so.
Hello, mate. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you.
That was Willow Sage Hart, who is Pink's daughter.
Oh, bless.
And there's a reason we're doing it, because we've got an exclusive track coming up later from Alan Coulthard.
Yeah.
Who, of course, we played loads of stuff and we know really well. He's a friend of the show.
Yeah.
Because the main people who made the film are making a remake album. It's kind of like they're getting different artists. So it's like I've got one from Pink and I've got one from Panic and the Disco coming up. Coming out on about, I think it's the 18th of November it's launched. But they're not the only ones remixing the album. Alan is as well.
Ah, right.
And his first track is available for playing, and it's straight out of the studio and straight to us on email. So that's coming up later on.
And that's
in the
a world exclusive.
To my knowledge, yes. Yes, it's usually good like that. So it didn't. We were really hoping to get it last week. Sadly, it didn't arrive quite enough in time. So, but we will do it today.
Brilliant.
So.
Brilliant.
And we're catching up with Stefan Lynn as well later on.
Right, yes, because of course they were featured on BBC Inside Out West,
yes.
Was it? Yeah,
yes.
Which is on BBC One.
We had Seb Chowdhury and his producer Ben in the studio a few weeks ago. And
yes.
Of course now that the piece has gone out, and I've also, I caught up, because of course they're away on holiday at the moment. So hello, I hope you're enjoying yourselves in that lovely sunny Floridian sun. I'm not jealous at all, honest.
Bit of autumn sunshine.
But yeah, I caught up with Steph earlier. So I've actually managed to get an exclusive from my very own Steph about what it's... her and Lynn's reaction to what happens.
But I believe the BBC, I've got to watch it actually on catch up, but I believe
it was very emotional.
Yeah, BBC did a really good job. So well done on BBC One for that, yeah.
Yeah.
All those guys up at White Ladies Road Broadcasting House.
And that's coming up. We're talking about, have you heard of the Hijra?
I have. It's the Hijra are a third sex in Indian culture, and considered to be extremely good luck at weddings and so on. So,
oh, are they? Oh,
kind of, sort of between sort of what in Western culture might be eunuchs and what today we might call intersex people. And that is that kind of tradition, and they're considered extremely good luck in Hinduism, I understand. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought eunuch was slightly different to that.
I may be wrong, but that's my understanding of where the Hijra tradition comes from. But I may be wrong on that.
Well, we can ask our very own Isla later.
Brilliant.
I caught up with her on the phone the other night. We're actually talking to her live as well, because she's making a film all about it.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
We will be having a chat with her as well. But in the meantime, we're going to catch up with our friends at Brigstow.
Fab.
My Five on Shout Out.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of Brigstow 5. I'm here, Polly, with my co-host,
Alid. Hi, everyone. It's been quite a while since, a month.
Yeah,
that's quite a while for a lot of people.
Happens monthly.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So Polly and Alid, and it's back with the Brigstow 5. And this month, we are HIV's answer to Miranda Priestly and Emily.
So if you don't know that reference, it's from The Devil Wears Prada, and you need to watch it now if you haven't watched it before.
Polly is Miranda, because she's always my boss, and I'm just the sassy assistant, I'm Emily.
It fits with you.
Yeah, completely.
So this month, we're going to be talking about World AIDS Day. It comes up on the 1st of December. And we have a lot going on. 29th of November, you can catch us on Shoutout, actually. And we're going to be doing a whole hour of World AIDS Day Takeover. So
we are. We get you will be listening to our voices for a full hour, talking everything HIV, everything World AIDS Day, what it means, why it is still important and a necessity for us, as well as deciding what music we're going to play, which
exciting.
Is exciting. Yeah,
so we're going to have the guys from Don't Tell Your Mother come on and play a track
we
for
are
us, which will be amazing. A guy called Andy, we're going to speak to him. He's been diagnosed with HIV for over 30 years, just and about 30 years.
It's the 30th anniversary of World AIDS Day, so he's been there for the entire time.
Yeah.
And he's an incredible voice and an experience and
a storyteller. He's yeah. such a fantastic storyteller. So definitely tune in for that. We just want to tell you a little bit about what we've got going on the run-up to World AIDS Day. Brigstow, who I work for, the local HIV charity, have put together a programme of events ranging from the 18th of November right the way to the 1st of December with our partner organisations and community groups like Terence Higgins Trust and Bristol Drugs Project, Bristol Bear Bar. And there's stories and HIV info in that programme too. So go and pick one up if you can. Bristol Bear Bar are going to stock loads of them, but there will be, you know, other places throughout Bristol. The other thing we've got going on is a campaign that we're running throughout November called My Red Ribbon. The premise of this really is that one in five people say that they feel uncomfortable wearing a red ribbon because of its affiliation with HIV. Obviously, it shows us that stigma is still
very much in the present.
Yeah, it is kicking.
Yeah.
But part of the way that we challenge this is to be visible and to wear our red ribbons. So we're encouraging people to pick up a red ribbon, to take a selfie of themselves wearing it and tweet it or Instagram it, get it on Facebook with the hashtag #MyRedRibbon.
And get it all over social media. Get your friends to do it. Get your family to do it. Get your work colleagues to do it. The red ribbon is a really significant visual for lots of various reasons, but for people living with HIV to be able to see that ribbon on someone without knowing that person is either positive or negative can make them feel at ease. They know that there is someone there that they can chat to. And it's just a collective coming together of remembrance, remembering those stories that have helped shape where we are now, and using those stories of past to keep ourselves grounded in how we can move forward and smash that stigma barrier and all of the other icky stuff that can be surrounding this. So it's a really powerful visual, and it will help so many people, the more people that wear them. It is just really, really nice, and it's a really good campaign, and everybody should be getting behind it. You know, Brigstow will be having red ribbon boxes everywhere, but, you know, THT and the National AIDS Trust as well, they will have presences everywhere this year with regards to World AIDS Day, considering it's the 30th anniversary. So to a point, whether you get your ribbon from Brigstow or not, if you see a red ribbon, pick it up and wear it.
Definitely do, yeah. For us, I mean, you will be able to find boxes again in Bristol Bear Bar, the Old Market Assembly, Harbourside Number 1, lots of venues throughout Bristol taking part in this campaign, which is amazing. Yeah, it's got a really nice history, the Red Ribbon. Really, like, I would look it up as a story if you've got time. It was sort of created by some activists in New York in the early 90s, and it sort of kicked off into this worldwide phenomenon since.
The red doesn't represent blood. It represents passion and fire and love that
anger as well, that sort of fight for justice.
You know? Which is so prominent and, like, at the forefront
of HIV activism.
Yeah.
As you can tell, Anna and I love the red ribbon.
A little bit.
A little bit. We'll definitely be wearing them. I have probably about 50 at home.
Oh, I have. Like, it comes to a point in December where nearly every item of clothing has a red ribbon on there.
You may as well.
So it's like every coat, every jumper, and every shirt, just in case if I remove an item of clothing, I've still got an item of clothing that has it on. And then throughout the year, I'll just find them in random places. I'm like, another one.
Yeah. And this is what it means to be an HIV activist, guys. So just a little reminder before we go. We'll be back on the 29th of November for a whole hour of Polly and Allard. And we really hope that you listen in then. I think it's going to be great.
It's going to be fantastic. And it's so, so amazing that we've got such a platform for a whole hour.
Shout out to Shout Out for that,
yeah,
actually.
Shout out
They're
to
such
Shout
good,
out.
Yeah, such good allies.
But to talk about this and to bring it to everybody's minds and forefronts, and just to raise that awareness and love and everything else that comes along.
We'll see you then.
See you then. Take
Bye.
Care.
If you have a story you could tell in 5 minutes, get in contact. Visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt. Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Now, how about that for a song?
Wow.
Do you like that?
That's very emotive.
So that like is Panic at the Disco. The Greatest Show, which is one of it's because you can get a couple of the tracks on the new album.
Right.
I'm a big fan. I love The Greatest Showman. I think it's a brilliant film.
Yeah.
So now talking of films, we're very lucky to be talking to Isla. Hello, Isla.
Hey.
Hi, Isla.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah. Now I'm good. Now we're talking to you about a film to do with the Hijra, aren't we?
Yeah, that's the film that I'm working on, the documentary Hijra, which we are engaging and fundraising for at the moment, which looks at the oldest ethnic community of transgenders in the world, who are the Hijras, based in India. Mm-hmm. And it looks at them in 2000. Well, we've been following them for the last 3 years. So.
Oh, wow. So for quite some time then.
Yeah, yeah.
So you say you've been following them. Does that mean you've actually been filming them as well for the last 3 years?
Yeah, we have. I actually first met, I mean, the film kind of started in 2015 when I realized I hadn't really met any transgender people or spoken to transgender people in Delhi, the city that I grew up in.
Right.
And so I met Rudrani, and we just completely pulled into her stories and the way she shared Delhi, the city that I grew up in, with me in ways and an interaction that had never happened. And we were so compelled by that reality that broke all the stereotypes that the society puts on you, that we started filming, and we just kept with it.
Wow.
We then obviously did it between different works and things like that, so it was it developed slowly.
Right. I mean, we say the Hijra are transgender. It's a little bit more than that, though, isn't it? I mean, it's a very, very old... I don't want to say tradition. It's not tradition. That's not what I mean, is it? What do I mean?
No, you are absolutely right. Absolutely right. So they sort of... The word Hijra actually means sort of the holy hermaphrodite from ancient Hindu scriptures.
Right.
You know?
So it's quite a mixed reaction from people, isn't it? So in some circumstances they're seen like mystical and powerful and a blessing and that kind of thing, but then also their family seem to take them as being quite shameful and they can be quite outcast and, you know, end up being ridiculed and reduced to things like begging and prostitution.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing, can't they?
Absolutely. So it's a strange sort of a paradox that runs, you know? So, like, while, I mean, like, my lead character would always say, while there's a limited amount of respect for the religious aspect, there's a lot of acceptance for it. Mm-hmm. India is a highly religious country, and Hinduism does seep into all corners of it, you know?
Yeah.
So there's acceptance, and everybody gets blessed by Hijras. I was blessed by Hijras when I was a baby.
Right.
My last encounter with them was, they show up to your house unannounced to bless babies. That's kind of what they do, and then that's what I've filmed and that's what I've spoken to them about. And they've shown me how that's their prime occupation. That's the respect that they do get. Do you know?
But then at the same time, if that happens, do you know why the families find them, you know, they're so shameful for the families if they're so light and they go and bless people?
Yeah, but because strangely enough, having a hijra within your family is a huge shame to manhood. And it's a huge shame to family pride because the male child is the prime aspect of Indian society. Do you know, like, even when the hijras go to bless, they ask the most amount of money for a male child. Now, if a male child is choosing to be a hijra, which isn't really looked upon as, like, it's tolerated. Maybe way back in the day as some sort of holy hermaphrodite, it was a respected thing, but it's now tolerated and people have a belief. So when you see a hijra on the street, you give them a coin and ask for the blessings, you know, like, and that's a normal thing. But it's not like people are seeking them out, if you know what
I mean. Right. So what kind of things have you had anything that kind of like quite opened your eyes up doing the film? Has there been anything unexpected that happened while you were filming, or?
I mean, while I was filming, I think the most unexpected thing for it was just, like, it's amazing how, like you say, about the, you know, the respect, the religious respect, and the visibility, which is very different from the West, do you know, where trans identities had been suppressed for so long. Yeah. India had this, like, visible community you can join. So for me, it was absolutely amazing to start seeing who these people are, you know, and how they live, how they actually live. You know, they took me to and the stories that I heard of absolute violence and of absolute marginalization were heartrending. Those were all extremely shocking, you know. And I was also taken to these places, you know, like the slum where the hijra trans people work as sex workers. You know, they go out to the main road and they shared their stories with me. And this place is about 20 minutes from my mom's house.
Gosh.
You know, I've seen them just standing on the street, but to be able to speak and understand what the reality is was shocking. You know,
on the positive side, Ayla, I understand that in Bangladesh and in India, a third gender is accepted and legally binding, so to speak.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, and that was a very landmark. So this was just before I met Rudrani. Mm-hmm. You know. This was just before I met Rudrani, and that's sort of the absolutely, you're absolutely right. It's been a long-fought battle that has come to fruition, and legal recognition means a lot today, which is the kind of stuff that's emboldened Rudrani to take steps as starting a transgender model agency. However, how much that reflects in actual society is still very, very minimal. You know, it's very, very minimal. And moreover, one of the biggest things that's happened is that India has been under a right-wing Hindu government, and Lakshmi Narayan Tripathi, Rudrani's hijra guru, and also the lead petitioner to have them recognized as third gender, is sort of paving the way for them to be recognized as the holy deities of Hindu religion.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm with you.
She's sort of perpetuating the religious identity, whereas Rudrani, my lead character, is sort of fighting for inclusion in schools, more acceptance as just a human being by families.
Yeah, so I see. Yeah, yeah.
So is there a particular? I mean, what can we expect to see when we go see the movie? Because it's more of a documentary style rather than a fictional movie, isn't it? Does it have a particular storyline or story arc that you followed with it?
Absolutely. We sort of follow, it is a documentary, we follow Rudrani Chetri, who is our lead character and who is a trans activist, hetero trans activist based in Delhi. She's the one who, so we had filmed a fair bit to where she led us into their world, you know, completely showed Delhi from their side. And we happened to be there with her when she came up with this idea, this groundbreaking idea of starting a transgender model agency to be seen as free from the ideas of being holy or profane, just as people. So we've followed her narrative to seeing how she's interacting with her society. We followed characters and their stories as they introduce their world and how they're tied in with the modeling. As we've sort of been following further on, and like I said, the religious aspect of it is actually very real. Quite often it gets quite romanticized, especially outside India. you know, about who the Hijras are. And Lakshmi is now perpetuating this working very closely with the government, with the Hindu religious leaders, to have Hijras recognized as demigods. So they would get more respect, more religious respect. And we follow Rudrani as she tries very hard to break the barriers, to really be seen as human, to really be seen as people who need care and love and acceptance within their own world. And that's the society, that's the story that we are following. We want to follow Rudrani to bring her to the UK, as she finds it very difficult to even speak out in her country because she would lose the minimal funding that she has, which she uses to provide HIV testing, condoms to sex workers, and health checkups in a drop-in center. You know, she would lose the minimal funding that she has if she speaks out too much.
Right.
So this film, she is trying to make allies abroad, and we want to bring her to the UK to show how she is a part of a global community, and India too belongs and deserves to have a part in it.
Well, if you do and you do manage to get her over, you'll have to come visit us here in Bristol, and perhaps we can talk to her on there.
Absolutely.
That would be lovely. So.
Well, help us spread the word. We're trying to fundraise right now and get it made.
So, well, that was what I was going to ask you next. I mean, how do people that are listening go about seeing the film? Has it come out yet? Is it going to be in particular cinemas, or are you releasing it?
Well, that's actually, again, one of the very key things about why we're sort of reaching out so much internationally, because I have filmed with at least a few people whose identities need to be protected because they haven't come out to their families.
Yeah.
The number of times that they've spoken to me about their lives and about how the system is and where they live is with the trust that I will not spread it. They can share this story with me with trust, so to not spread it in their own country.
Right. Okay.
You know what I mean? We will, of course, be making a film to share widely, which Rudrani can particularly use as an advocacy tool, but it's something that we keep in mind as we make the whole film, that there are, that some people's identities need to be protected.
Cool. Well, if anyone would like to find out more about you or the film, etc., do you have things like a website that people can visit at all?
Yes, absolutely. We've got a website called Penbryn Films, which is Penbryn Films. co.uk, and we've got a Facebook page called Hijra Film, and we're on Twitter as well called Hijra Film, and we would love to hear from you. And
marvellous.
We'll put up links on our website over the weekend.
Just out of interest, before we run out of time, if this does well, are you thinking of doing a follow-up story at all, or would you consider a second film?
Well, I mean, I think we're quite in the middle. I would be very curious to know how things shape, because one of the things that we are looking at is the fabric of society and what Rudrani deals with in reality. And I wonder where the next 5 years would take India. So absolutely, we would keep in touch and see how things develop. Maybe we should take Storm.
Yeah, I always think it's fascinating when you do something, especially there's a documentary that follows people, you do think years later, I wonder what happened. And, you know, especially if you're in a completely different country, it's always kind of nice to see, gosh, that's what happened to them. And you know, especially they're doing well and that kind of stuff. It's brilliant. So.
Exactly, I think we would. I'm sure Rudrani would be calling me up for interesting things.
Listen, Arla, it's been lovely talking to you. And it's a fascinating story about the Hijra. I didn't really know much about it until I was researching the show and talking to you the other night, so it's been a bit of a learning one for me too. And genuinely, the offer is there. If you do manage to get her to come across, we'd love to have the pair of you here in the studio at Shout Out. But for now, a big thank you for talking to us.
Thank you so much for having us. Thank
and good luck with the film.
The Shout Out podcast.
That is Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan, and that's a song called Kinasona. I'll pick that one, so that's why we're playing that. Apparently it's one that's danced to an awful lot and is very well known.
And of course, last night was Diwali, which is one of the most important Hindu festivals, of course.
Yes.
November. So really interesting.
I thought it was fascinating. Yeah. I mean, I'd heard of the Hijra before, but it wasn't until I researched this show and was talking to Isla the other night that I realised just how old it is as well. That as in the culture.
Well, remember, Hinduism is a very ancient religion that's still practiced. I mean, it's much older than Judeo-Christian or Islamic religions. You know, it dates back 5,000 years of continuous history.
Wow.
You know, so it's a long time.
God, it's amazing. I mean, life must have been so different back then.
Yeah, but as Isla said, you know, the Hijra were accepted and, you know, it come from a very ancient background. So that's really interesting. Yeah, I look forward to seeing the film.
Anyway, I know you're on your own, mate. Would you mind giving us some news headlines?
I'd be a pleasure. This is Shoutout News on Thursday the 8th of November. The free newspaper for the older generation, Mature Times, which is based in the West but has national reach, has urged all eligible people, including those living with HIV, to take up the annual offer of a flu jab from the NHS. Addressing myths around the immunisation injection, the paper reports that around 10,000 annual deaths can be avoided in people with long-term health conditions if everybody took up the flu jab as offered. Mature Times notes that few people experience an allergic reaction, and that it's a fabrication of conspiracy theorists that the flu jab will actually give you full-blown influenza. If you are HIV positive and are interested in getting your flu booster, please speak with your healthcare professional or contact your HIV support charity. The autumn issue of WAG, the magazine of the Dogs Trust, is out now and reflects on the summer of Pride events just gone. The Trust says, as an organisation, we have been supporting Pride since the year 2000, when we first strutted our stuff in the Brighton Pride Parade. Since then, the Dogs Trust has been spreading the message that dogs do not discriminate and are loving pets for many LGBT households. Dogs, the article concludes, understand that love is love. Saffron Records, the West Country-based all-women record label, is profiled in the Bristol Cable, issue 17, which is available from community centres, alternative bookstores and independent meeting spaces across the region. The profile meets the founders of the label, which was created in 2015, and notes that it will annoy radical feminists with their firmly trans-inclusive platform. The November edition of the Chew Valley Gazette, the local community paper for the region immediately south of the Bristol City boundary, addresses in several pieces the change in the law which allows heterosexual couples to enter into civil partnerships. A local solicitor, Edward Lyons, writes for the paper that an increasing number of opposite-sex couples are interested in entering into the relatively new institution of civil partnerships because it more accurately reflects their more egalitarian living arrangements than marriage, which, he says, is based on more traditional gender roles. The chief executive of legendary women-run adult chain store Anne Summers was the special guest on the BBC Radio 4 programme Desert Island Discs last week. The programme, which has been going since 1948 and which invites castaways to choose the records and books they'd like to keep with them if marooned for life, learned how the Summers brand was formed and how it continues to empower women, much to the annoyance of both right-wing religious moralists and left-wing anti-sex campaigners. And finally, the Sky Arts channel, which is available on cable and satellite platforms, dedicated a special evening to the rock band Queen, whose exuberant bisexual frontman Freddie Mercury is profiled in a new movie called Bohemian Rhapsody. Queen sold millions of albums before the sad death of Mr. Mercury from an AIDS-related condition in 1991. Their legendary hit single, also called Bohemian Rhapsody, and which was championed by the gay radio personality Kenny Everett on Capital Radio, is the only track to have been a Christmas number one in two separate years, 1975 and again following Mercury's death 16 years later. Today, Queen are still touring with the gay and gender-fluid singer Adam Lambert, proudly stepping into Freddie's rock and roll boots. For these news stories and more, you can check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt. And for Shoutout News, I've been Terry Starr.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
go. That's Pink and A Million Dreams. So I looked it up. The album is called The Greatest Showman Reimagined, and it's out on the 16th of November, and includes those couple of tracks that we played. That's Pink, and obviously earlier at the top of the show, we played her daughter singing the reprise to that. So
perfect for a stocking filler.
Indeed.
If it's not too early to mention such things, of course.
No, it's November. It's everywhere now. So.
Well, indeed, I see that here in Bristol, the Christmas market in Broadmead opens tomorrow.
Yes, in fact, we've got a chap sat next to me called Pete who reliably informs me that you can see The Greatest Showman when the ice skating rink opens at We the Curious. A couple of weeks?
17th,
there you go.
So, great.
Yeah, so. Now, the next bit is actually on our very own Steph and indeed, her lovely wife, Lynn. Yeah. If you've been listening to the show for the last few weeks, you'll know that we had the BBC in filming us, but they've not just been filming here, they've been filming Steph and Lynn all over.
They've been following them, haven't they?
BBC Inside Out...
West.
Inside Out West feature on the two of them and their relationship. Right, yeah. And we'll talk a little bit more about it after, but here's a clip from the beginning of the show that kind of gives you an idea of what they were talking about.
Lynn misses her husband desperately even now.
Oh, every day. Feel a man's arms around you, cuddling you, kissing you, protecting you.
The guilt was horrific. You feel as though, mostly, that I'd let Lynn down, because I still love her passionately now.
I'm not in her head to understand how she feels or thinks. I can try to understand. And again, she's not in my head to feel what I've lost.
There's this huge love thing going on between us it's almost enmeshed souls, but something's twisting it and trying to pull it apart. She stood by me. She was brave enough to do that, despite the fact that she just about lost her husband, who she loved passionately.
There you go. So that's just in the very beginning of the show, and obviously it goes off. It's really weird, because I've known Steph and Lynn for years, and you know, I regard Steph as one of my closest friends, and it had me in tears. It really had me in tears, and I should have kind of been prepared for it, because of course the whole reason that we met Steph and we met Lynn was because they came on the show in the first place
for
exactly the same reason, and Lynn bless her sat in the studio with us and told exactly the same story, and the two of them were in tears and we were talking to them.
And that's about 6 or 7 years ago now, I think.
Back in the early days, and now I can't shut Steph up, you know? So, but yes, it was lovely. You haven't had a chance to see it yet, have you?
No, I haven't actually. I've got to watch that. So yeah.
So, but yeah, it was really well done. It was a shame that some of our media were not so nice about it, to the point where the BBC had to rebuke what they were saying.
Well, there's certain scurrilous elements in the tabloid press, is, shall we say.
Yeah, it happens. So, but yeah, it's
well done, the BBC, well, I think, for doing
it. Yes, and I know Steph shares the same sentiment. Well done to Seb Chowdhury and his producer, Ben, because they put it together in an extremely well done way.
Yeah.
Which was lovely. So,
and of course, being on BBC One in the West, they've sort of covered a really wide area and reached a lot more people. Outside of Bristol and down throughout the whole of the West Country, that maybe hadn't considered sort of trans issues before.
No.
But did it in a very sensitive way. So.
Yeah. But I managed to catch up with Steph. Now, she's obviously away on holiday at the moment. But of course, it's gone out on the BBC. And when something goes out on the BBC, even when it's like local, it still hits tens of thousands of people.
Yeah.
So, while she's away, there was no escaping the fact that she's passed a shout out. I had to get some audio off her to find out what she thought of the reaction. So, have a listen to this.
The reaction to the BBC video was absolutely incredible.
It went to number one in the most watched on the BBC Worldwide news website. It's also been taken by Entertainment Tonight on one of their shows. And each time that it's been put out, it's been done in a really, really good, sensitive way. We did have some... The reaction to the BBC video was absolutely incredible. It went to number one in the most watched on the BBC Worldwide news website. It's also been taken by Entertainment Tonight on one of their shows. And each time that it's been put out, it's been done in a really, really good, sensitive way. We did have some bad responses from the press where they just hijacked the detail from the BBC promo. Daily Mail, Bristol Post, they didn't do a good job on it at all, but the BBC rebuked both of the papers, thankfully. But as far as the television is, programme has gone, it's been absolutely fantastic. There's been no trolling, no tariffs got involved. It's been really good and positive. We've now had lots of other offers to do that, from other stations. RTL across Europe want to take it up. So I'm thinking about having to get an agent now. The response actually from friends, family and the Twitter sphere was quite humbling. Both Lynn and I were really touched about how people responded. It's quite incredible. I don't know about you, but it certainly made us cry when we watched what Ben and Seb done to it. And the only reason we'd done it is because we actually trusted Seb to do it properly and Ben, the producer. It was really, really well done. And I'd like to thank them for keeping their promise and to say that it was going to be done well, but in a way that was explainable to people who don't understand and to educate. And I think the BBC actually have done that.
So there you go. So, and I have told Steph I'll happily be her agent.
Good words. And that's what television should be for. Mm. It's for, you know, education as well, you know, as well as entertainment. And
yeah.
What the BBC have, you know, done is obviously really, really good. And the fact that foreign broadcasters or overseas broadcasters like RTL, which is huge on the continent,
yeah,
massive, massive concern, that they're interested in the story is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, so Steph's bursting off the radio and onto
television. She's going to leave us behind, yeah, clearly. As long as she remembers us in her memoirs.
So anyway, I do want to say a big thank you to both Steph and Lynn for letting us talk about it and be part of it. And she's back in a couple of weeks, so she'll be able to tell us.
You will hear more about it.
We'll talk
about
it more.
And in the meantime, how can people catch up if you don't have catch up television? It's online, isn't it?
Yeah, it is online. It's not just online, because of course you can get BBC iPlayer on lots of different devices now, including
right,
some smart TVs and stuff like that. So, but if you go and you search for Inside Out West on the BBC iPlayer, at the moment it's the first show. So depending on when you're listening to the podcast, listening to this live, if it's gone next Monday, obviously it may be the second show. But have a look.
Easy to find. They
put all the shows up there and you can go watch it again. So,
yeah.
They are the first feature, because they do three features per show. So.
Right,
and they are the first one. I warn you, especially if you're like me, have a hanky to hand, because it is a very moving, powerful story. So, and I know they're saying it so that they can hopefully tell someone else that, you know, look, it is okay to be trans and
exactly,
the like.
Exactly,
that's the big point of the message. So.
Really open up debate, as hopefully this programme itself does. You know, it's really
but, yeah,
important.
Big hats off to both Steph and Lynn, because they've done it on the radio with us. They've now done it on TV, and it takes a lot of courage to open up about something so personal and so private in order to help someone. So,
yeah.
Anyway,
fabulous stuff.
Would you like a world exclusive?
I would actually. Yeah. I'd really like a world exclusive.
Have a listen to this.
The Shout Out Podcast.
There you go, that's a world exclusive.
That's a really
it's
good
amazing,
cover version,
isn't it? Yeah.
I like that a lot.
It's obviously called This Is Me.
Yeah.
It's by High on Life featuring Lee Gilbert. Isn't out yet. That's literally the first mix that's come out of the studio, I'm told. So
brilliant.
So, yeah, all good. So
remember where you heard it first.
So now, a reminder and a bit of good news. A reminder is HIV testing week this week.
It is, yeah.
Very, very easy to do. Things come on a long way. Long-time listeners remember I even did an HIV test live on air.
Yep.
One of the scariest things I've ever done, but we did it to prove how easy it is. And that was just a little prick test on the end of your finger, where you can now buy them for home use as well. So go have a look at THT's website. That's Terence Higgins Trust.
Yeah, indeed.
And you'll be able to get one if you would like one. Yep. So obviously you can also go to your local GUI or GUM clinic, depending on where you are, what they're called, and testing's all free and the like, usually about a week's turnaround.
Yeah.
There are kits available where you can also send it off from a test at home as well. So it's whatever makes you comfortable.
Yeah, whichever option is best for you, but it is worth testing and knowing your status. I think that's the emphasis.
Yeah, Terry, give us some good news.
We are on, I think, this is our 10th station we're on now, isn't it? We are now officially going out on 10 local community radio stations.
Hello to everyone across all 10 of them.
We really appreciate it. A full list is up on our website. And welcome this evening to listeners at Tiverton Community Radio, at tivertoncommunityradio.co.uk,
Amazing.
Which is the local radio station for Tiverton, a lovely little town in North Devon. Population about 20,000. Very important. Settled in the Stone Age.
Oh, right.
Yeah, they've got a Celtic hill fort. They've got everything there. It's absolutely fabulous. And it was really important in the Industrial Revolution. They've got a lovely football team. I've been to see them play. And I've got family down that way as well.
So, oh, marvellous. Yeah. Well, hello to everyone in Tiverton.
Welcome to Tiverton Community Radio. It's a great station. If you're down that way, listen. Even if you're not, you can get it on the internet. There's some fabulous programmes on there. So, yeah, have a tune in.
So, anyway, that's it for another show. But if you do want to know anything about the items covered tonight, do check us out online at shoutoutradio.lgbt. Next week we're getting a little bit high on life, but for myself and Terry, say bye bye mate.
Good night everyone, bye bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.